All right. Welcome to Freethinker Radio, 90.1 KPFT Houston, Conscious Resistance Network. My name is Derek. I'm here with Micah. What's going on, man?
Just having another good week, you know, working at things. Kind of being driven a little crazy by the news. You can't pay too much attention to that. And, you know, glad to be here again on KPFT. Glad to broadcast on Friday in the 3 o'clock hour. So if you're catching this elsewhere, thank you for your support of KPFT as the kind of our anchor home to reach a lot of people with less censorship, less shutting your channels down than you might see in the lamestream.
Yeah, it's interesting. We've really been kind of trying to make that point the past few months because it's true that while people are complaining, myself included, of being deleted or censored or shadow banned or what have you on YouTube and Facebook and places like that, we're still broadcasting on 90.1 KPFT in Houston to the entire Houston area, Galveston and beyond, and of course those who listen and watch online. So it really does give us an opportunity to speak to people. And yeah, we can always just broadcast on the internet. You think that, right? It feels like the internet's just this completely free place. But sometimes we're finding now in this day and age that there are limitations. And if you want to find out more about what we do, you can go to thehoustonfreethinkers.com, find out a little bit of our history. You can see the archives of our recent shows, including some clips that we cut up. Sometimes we're cutting up shorter clips, 5, 7, 10 minutes that just show you maybe a specific story so you can find out more about what we talk about. And then also visit kpft.org if you want to support us. I do want to shout out, Micah, we had some donations to KPFT in the name of Freethinker Radio in the month of March, and we're always thankful for that. So if you like listener-supported, community-supported, commercial-free, corporate-free community radio, and then the way we do it here on Freethinker Radio, uncensored news, underground music beyond the mainstream, then please do consider going to kpft.org and visiting the newly redesigned website and contributing however you can so that we can continue to do this.
No doubt. And if you're a longtime listener but never supported, now's a great time to support. Any amount goes to support, keep the word going, keeps our work going. You know, we don't get paid by it. We just get to keep broadcasting by it. So thank you for the love. I got a lot of events, but there's so much stuff starting to happen around town that I'm just kind of getting excited about it a little bit. The farmers market over at 1245 Heights Boulevard is going on Saturday. I saw there's a market out in Katy. I'm glad to see these markets. I was speaking to some of the vendors, and they're excited about getting to a spring market. And there's a lot of food still coming in from farmers locally. So meanwhile, like the grocery stores, the other stuff may be lacking some things, but you can get fresh nutrition at these things. And one thing I noticed at the one on the Heights 1245 is, I don't know if some people, you know, a lot of people from the Heights go to it. I've been to it many, many, many times, but I think also people drive in and they walk like their dogs on that Heights Boulevard there. There's a lot of old homes to look at. And I was kind of cruising through the Heights, and I guess I kind of forget about it as I'm used to trying to, you know, run around different areas of town. And it's got its own little culture. It's got its own group of people getting out and walking around. It's got galleries and all that. So if you're not in Houston, you know, maybe these events don't seem so big to you, but getting out and talking to people is pretty cool because, you know, you find you've got some things in common and some things that are different. And so you learn how to reach people that are different than you, and you grow. Speaking of growing, I saw this interesting thing. In person, you can keep your distance. You can wear a mask if you want to. Most people aren't hostile, but some are, unfortunately. Nonetheless, I don't think anyone's going to be hostile at this tree giveaway that's also going on Saturday. I thought I'd mention it just because, you know, people might need a tree. You know, they might not have much, but they might need a tree. And they're giving away American sycamores, arrowwood, vibranium, crepe myrtles, red maples, red buds, and white oaks. I think they need to have some places that give fruit trees away and nut trees, you know, productive, like things like that. I'm sorry. The ornamental trees are great. You know what I'm saying? But still, anyway, they're going to give 1,000 free trees away. I guess it's a local nonprofit. Nice. You know, it's a local nonprofit. People need shade. Flowers are nice. Birds love the
1,000 trees, you said?
Yep.
That's awesome.
And Yeah, and this is over at 2001 West 34th, kicks off at 10 a.m. And though they have a variety, they say the earlier you get there, the more likely you are to get your first choice. And, I mean, there's tons of different music events and things, and we could go on just talking about things going on in Houston. But I think our main point is just to let people know some of the diverse actions that are going on. I see there's a Freedom Cell meeting going on as well this Saturday. Derek, you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I just wanted to shout that out to everybody who is involved in the growing Freedom Cell movement. Anybody wants to check it out, it's freedomcells.org, C-E-L-L-S.org. Just a website set up like a social media network, but the main goal is to use the maps to search to find pre-existing cells, groups, hubs, hives, whatever you want to call them, to connect with people, you know, interested in things like growing their own food and, you know, getting together to do various forms of activism or maybe mutual aid networks, things like that, maybe supporting each other in times of need after winter storms or hurricanes and things like that. And so it's been really growing around the world, but Houston's been consistently meeting up, and there is going to be another Houston Freedom Cell, what they're calling the blast off meeting. They're really trying to take things to the next level for anybody who's interested in being a part of community in this way. It's going to be Saturday, April 17th. That's coming this weekend, 5:30 at Midtown Bar and Grill. So that's 5:30 again, Midtown Bar and Grill in Montrose off West Gray. And just to read a little bit from what they wrote in their description, it says, bring your friends, your family, anyone who is open-minded and has a good heart. We will sit down together to solve issues in the following areas: health, food and agriculture, community building, technology, recruiting and activism, economics and law, just kind of as some starting points. And also, just to kind of add to that, I think it'll be next week, but I'll just remind you guys again next week that there's also a Gulf Coast Freedom Cell closer out to League City, Galveston area, that's going to be meeting on April 24th. April 24th, that's next week, 2 to 4 p.m. And I think our show will be airing before that, so I'll mention that again next week. But yeah, if you're in Galveston or Houston, definitely opportunities to get involved. And even if you're not, again, you can check the Freedom Cells website and find people in your area, wherever you're listening from. But Micah, you want to hit a song real quick before we hit this news? I know you were saying the news is getting you a little stressed out. And I mean, I think that's the reality, right? You're trying to get away from the stress by coming here and talking with me about the news. So
that'll work. Let's hear some music. What did you have in mind?
Well, our quickest, and I think it's fun and it gets straight to the point, song comes from our co-host who is not with us tonight, Johnny. He might be jamming with his band doing some practicing. So in his honor, we're going to play Stupid Idiot. This song is called Fascist Punk. And we played it before. And I don't know if we actually ever said what it's about, because for those of you who hear it, might just sound like a bunch of noise. But listen to the lyrics if you can understand them. You know, he's just saying everyone should be like me. Everyone should dress like me. And it's this idea that in the times we're in now, that to some people, doing things like being a punk, which for me, at least growing up, it meant nonconformity, kind of being yourself, whatever that meant, not necessarily just wearing the costume that means you're a punk, right? Just being yourself. But that itself becoming a form of conformity. And so it's like, oh, if you're not doing the right things, liking the right bands, saying the right things, well, then you're not with us sort of mentality. And so, yeah, this song, at least for me, I mean, how do you interpret that, Micah?
I think you hit it on the head. The only strain that kind of went on in my brain while you were explaining that is, there, and maybe I'm putting too much on it, but there's this shift, you think, as these different people try to prove how punk or prove how whatever cult they are, you know, they try to prove that it goes from being the individual in the beginning that stood out and was admirable to being like this collective, mindless sort of fascism type thing.
Collective. Or a fascist punk, right? So that's what the song's about, guys. You're listening to Freethinker Radio. We'll be back in less than a minute. Stay tuned.
Everyone should be like me. Go.
Welcome back to Freethinker Radio, 90.1 KPFT Houston. That was Stupid Idiot, Fascist Punk, our co-host Johnny. That's one of his bands. And yeah, thanks for jamming that out. Let's get into some news, Micah. You want to start with Harris County, Houston area? Let everybody know what's happening in the fourth largest city of the U.S.
Yeah, I think we're going to get through this pretty fast. I mean, there's a lot more going on than we'll cover for sure. But some things that stood out was there's an individual, a man that was shot by the Harris County sheriff's deputy. And it turns out that he was shot in the middle of the night around 1 a.m. The wife called because the husband was in a, quote, mental health crisis. And this was according to Assistant Chief Mike Lee. The deputy was met at the door by a man who was armed with a knife and refused to drop it. The deputy shot the man after a stun gun had no effect on him. So that happened. I guess there's an investigation going on. I don't know what we should think about that other than, you know, this sounds like a horrible situation. I would like to think that you don't have to, you know, necessarily bring a gun to a knife fight. I guess the stun gun had no effect, and maybe the man with the knife was lunging at the officer. You know, I don't have all those type of details, but it's just horrible situations where
details aren't out yet.
Pardon me?
Those details aren't out yet.
No, this is pretty fresh. But yeah, that one's developing, and we've seen numerous times where it is no big deal, but we've also seen numerous times where it unfolds into something much larger. And I think as even people who do news analysis, we have a sort of responsibility to have an eye out for these type of stories that do develop or don't, and talk about, you know, what's going on here. You know, we do obviously have a mental health crisis, you know, and this seems, if nothing else, to stand to that in another tragic incident, and possibly worse.
Yeah. So, you know, the only thing I would add to that, Micah, because I do think that, again, unfortunately, these things are not totally uncommon, right? And even in Houston, years ago, when we were first starting the radio show, we were talking about Brian Clonch, the paraplegic, you know, one-armed man who was killed by an officer because he had a pen in his hand, you know, and that was a mental health issue, you could say, as well. And the thing I think is interesting, and where our audience might be interested, is there's this larger conversation going on about defunding the police, right? We're going to get into some other police violence today. There's the trial of, you know, Derek Chauvin for George Floyd's death going on. This is still very much a conversation. And one of the demands has been, besides just, you know, defund or demilitarize whatever the police, is talking about mental health and these ideas that maybe instead of sending a cop to a situation where somebody's clearly having a mental health crisis, or it appears to be, that you send like a mental health professional, you send this and that. And I think it's, that to me sounds like a reasonable idea, but I've also seen it sort of made fun of or dismissed by those who maybe are more conservative, because they imagine it's like, oh, we're going to turn our cops into a bunch of psychiatrists. And I don't think they make the distinction that, like, it doesn't mean you would send cops out when there's a robbery. I mean, you would send a psychiatrist out when there's a robbery, but if there's somebody who's clearly having like a mental breakdown, rather than maybe sending in a cop who hasn't been trained or who is trigger happy, maybe that's what he's been trained in, you send somebody who is able to actually have skills to communicate with somebody going through something like that. So that's what comes to mind to me, is like that whole larger conversation about trying to make it easier for, you know, cops to, or just for people who are going through those things, to not end up dead, to not get shot, you know, because sometimes people freak out and pick up a knife maybe, and it might sound crazy to some people, but sometimes you're just having a really intense moment, or maybe you got schizophrenia, or maybe you got different issues that a cop isn't going to be the most equipped person to handle.
I think one of the things you're hitting on, without getting too direct to it, is think of how many people have had interactions with the police, everything from, you know, a traffic ticket, a lemonade stand, I don't know what else, you know, protest, so many different interactions. Look how many people are moving in and out of those jails all the time. So when you add up all this across the country, combined with the news, most people don't see police as protecting their freedom that much. I mean, I know some people do, and a lot of police care to do that, but that doesn't mean in the mass culture they're not seen as some sort of police from Gotham or something, you know? And people, you know, the riots have shown that there's a lot of dissatisfaction, if nothing else, right? And I think that's the point here. People, when a police officer shows up at their door, that's not thought of as a helpful thing. If they're at the edge, it's probably not the easiest thing to talk them back down. One of the pictures I liked of Muhammad Ali, he talked a suicide person back down from the edge, and I thought that was a really cool picture. And I think about that, you know, if an officer runs up to you and you're about to jump, you know, I mean, I just don't know, you know. I think
people I can't think of one time that a cop showed up at my door or my vehicle or something, and I thought it was a good thing.
I think if that was a poll, I think more people would come behind not feeling that it's a good thing. You don't even have to be pro or against cops for funding or not funding. Just in your interactions, has it been a good or a negative thing? And I think you'd find a lot more people think it was a negative thing or would expect it to be a negative thing, you know? And yeah. So I'm saying when you hit someone in the middle of a crisis with that on top of it, a rat backed in a corner, you got that sort of, you know, thing going on in a human being. And so yep. you can expect erratic behavior, and then you got officers that are in fear of their life.
Yeah. Well, we're going to continue the conversation about police in Houston with this next story. You're listening to Freethinker Radio right now. Every week we do this. We've been doing this since 2011, right? Summer 2011, yeah. Mike, it's been 10 years. It's crazy. It's about to be like 10 years, like literally 10 years in a couple of months. And we are trying to bring you guys information that you're not going to find in the mainstream, and especially on the mainstream radio across Houston and elsewhere. So if you're interested in what we do, check out kpft.org, check out the HoustonFreethinkers.com. Let's talk about this next story, Micah. This is what, another HPD shooting or officer involved shooting?
I don't know that it's really, it's just different story than we normally would approach on here. And so I don't necessarily want to spend a lot of time on it, but this is one where an officer ran from a scene of a shooting. And rather than engaging the shooter, she basically hid at the back of a complex and failed to assist her fellow officers or the public who had, and these people had been wounded by the shooting, the letter said, and they fired her. So, you know, I just thought it was a little different than our normal, you know, officer story because, yeah, we haven't talked too much about an officer being fired from moving away from a shooting like that. But I thought it was just interesting because I think a lot is expected of police, and maybe some defunding needs to occur in different areas. I'm surprised more people kind of don't have that conversation because it's really just a question of what's the proper role. But my goodness, you know.
Yeah, that one's a little interesting. I didn't really fully understand the headline, but I guess that's another, just a completely different situation. You maybe don't consider all the time, like a cop actually being afraid and to the point that they go and hide and then one of their fellow officers dies or is shot in the process. That's pretty, like you said, a different angle. Well, like I mentioned, man, that, you know, the conversation for some of America, at least right now, is back on police violence because we have another really public shooting taking place. And I'm not claiming here in this conversation to know the details personally. I haven't even really dove into the situation other than just seeing that it's happening, having some friends in the area, seeing videos of looting and different places and protests in the streets and fighting with cops and the things that have become all too familiar in the United States of America. And that situation is developing. And like I said, in the backdrop of that, you have the Derek Chauvin, Minnesota officer who had his knee down on George Floyd's throat last year. So it's an interesting time, but let's go ahead and get into this, this situation.
Yeah. You know, this situation, what we're talking about is the, I guess the murder, the death of Duante Wright, depending on how you want to look at it. And just to lay some of the backstories down, officers pulled over Duante Wright after a traffic stop because he had expired tags or something like that is what the story says, and attempted to detain him after they'd ran his background of a gross misdemeanor. I had to look that up, and basically it's a very severe misdemeanor, but it's also can start out as a simple misdemeanor. Well, not even simple. Start out as something like a DWI or something lighter that then gets moved up into a gross misdemeanor, and that calls for jail time. So it's a misdemeanor, but it's pretty intense level. Requires jail time and big fine. So he had one of these type of warrants for his arrest. Turns out that Potter, the officer, she attempted to subdue Duante Wright during the arrest with a taser, but instead shot him with her handgun. And I guess the story is that it was by mistake. Some people even contest that. Potter and Police Chief Tim Gannon resigned from the force on Tuesday. Turns out rioters have clashed. Protests have been going on outside the Brooklyn Center Police Department for three nights in a row. Some looting has been reported. In Minnesota, where this happened, Brooklyn Center is the name of the place. More than 60 people were arrested Tuesday night, and State Patrol Colonel told reporters after hundreds of protesters gathered outside the police headquarters, people threw bottles and other projectiles at the building, prompting police to respond by firing rubber bullets, tear gas, and stun grenades into the crowd. A crowd also descended on the home of Kim Potter. That's the officer who shot Duante. But yeah, they descended on her home. And now she's been charged with manslaughter over Mr. Wright's death. She was booked under a second degree charge and was taken into custody Wednesday. They basically made a statement saying they will vigorously prosecute this case and intend to prove that Officer Potter abrogated her responsibility to protect the public when she used her firearm rather than her taser. Imran Ali, who's the Washington County Assistant Criminal Division Chief, said, quote, her action caused the unlawful killing of Mr. Wright, and she must be held accountable. And so, you know, we're going to have another one of these trials that, you know, is going to be a high publicity trial, right? And these things, they lay down, if nothing else, the people's expectations of the judicial branch, much less lay down things in law that could be consequential and keep the dialogue going about, well, you know, what's the proper use of power.
Yeah, and I mean, I just want to say that without, again, like I haven't had time to really dive into this, and there's just unfortunately every time anything happens in the time we're in, there's 100 hot takes on it. There's the everything's fake take. There's the immediately like abolish the police. There's the it has to do with racism take. You know, there's just so many kind of things that have become the norm and people the way people respond to this that. I think that we should be having deeper conversations. These moments do present themselves and those opportunities. It's unfortunate that people also clearly do take the opportunity to loot and do things that have no relation to protesting Duante Wright's death. You know, people just taking advantage and going, I was just showing on screen a moment ago, people who are were looting a dollar store and just different things like that. That again, it's not like my personal take is if there's going to be some sort of civil disobedience in that form out there in the streets and to that capacity, well then, you know, like we've seen last year, there was some people who were actually protesting at the police station, protesting at the, you know, government building or what, be, you know, what it may be. To me, that has more of a symbolic meaning and a literal meaning than going and, you know, looting.
And that did take place this time too at the Brooklyn Center Police building. They were throwing bottles and things like that. And I guess protests as well that probably devolved or evolved or whatever you call it into that. But yeah, it's a serious situation. And obviously the police are, I think if nothing else, it makes you think about all of history, how many times they never had to be accountable. Cause now that there's a little bit more cameras, a little like this was a body camera. Let's talk about that a minute. This was a body camera right there on the officer. And she's being charged with manslaughter. She's not being charged with murder. You see what I mean? It's 10 years in jail, maybe up to $20,000, I believe. I forget the dollar amount. But 10 years in jail she could face manslaughter. It's not murder. That body camera can help her to not face more stiff penalties. It can also help the family know what happened. So, I mean, here we're seeing in the news now things we used to just talk about in the news 10 years ago in some ways.
Yeah, that, you know, just one final point on that before we start to move forward here. I don't really have a lot of respect for the, and again, maybe this is just me speaking out of turn. I've never been in that situation, right? And you know, who am I? But just this idea that she, I believe it was a female officer, accidentally a shot instead of tased, like she supposedly thought she was pulling her taser or shooting her taser, but
a 27-year veteran.
27 years on the force, drawing her gun, packing her gun, carrying her gun. I'm sorry, I spent a little time in the military, and I had reason to have guns. Otherwise, I don't think there's much room to mistake them. I maybe in the heat of the moment, I'm not really saying. I haven't really been put in that type of pressure where I was having to react in the heat of the moment. And I, if nothing else, it points to a severe training difficulty.
Yeah, we have, you know, one of our listeners who's just following along commenting that to a question I put out to the audience a moment ago, do you think officers should have the quote unquote right to shoot people in the streets rather than try them in court? Because I think that's what it comes down to often as well. And they said, no, only if being shot at should they have the right to shoot someone. It's out of control, especially if someone is resisting arrest and you already have their name. You could put a warrant out if they escape. And I think that's a reasonable thing. It's like, you know, why we've covered cases here where the cop is like in hot pursuit or whatever, and they're shooting into the street and they kill a baby in the car or something like that. You know, that's a headline. I know we've covered that as well as others. And it's just like, I guess to some degree you consider of, oh, there's a criminal that's obviously dangerous, potentially whatever, and they're running through the streets. Do you just let them go free? Or do you just, I don't know. To me, it doesn't seem like the answer is just to start shooting into the crowd after them, though. But yeah, so I think that is another aspect of the conversation. But let's go ahead and move forward. I do want to, Micah, in maybe another 5-10 minutes or so. I told you last week or the week before I was working on a new song, and I just released it yesterday. So maybe we could have a premiere here on Freethinker Radio for that if you're down to hear it. I don't know if you've got a chance to check it out, but maybe we could share it live. And I would like to get that out to the people, whoever wants to check that out. But yeah, I wanted
no doubt. You know, Freethinker Radio for a decade, you know, especially on our 2-hour episode, has worked hard to get the music out, right? Why not get your music out too?
10 years, man. That's crazy. I mean, I guess we should acknowledge that a little. I was thinking about that actually just as far as how long we've known each other, but then the radio show starting, you know, just not too long after that. And it's like, wow, we started, and we've told the story before, we started on an old radio station that was only on the internet in Houston, well, all over, but it was based in Houston called Local Live Houston. And we did that from 2011 till, you know, things tapered off somewhere in 2014 or so, 15. And then we did it kind of solo, tried the podcasting only thing, and then eventually started collaborating with KPFT in 2016 on the HD2 side. And then along the way, moved to the FM dial, where we're very thankful and happy to broadcast on FM across Houston. And like I said, across the internet as well. So it's been cool talking about all sorts of things. It's also been a little scary. Like you said, the amount of things we've covered, the people we've interviewed, journalists, former presidential candidate Gary Johnson and other people among them, and the insane stories. And some of the things I would say that we've been talking about before people were paying attention to them, it is a little unnerving and it can be a lot, man. But I think that also in a really just honest way that these type of things, especially because I don't really do too much other shows anymore. I used to do a lot more. It's a form of therapy for me, I'd say. So I think the show for the last 10 years has been that form of like, all right, we got to talk about all this crazy stuff. Otherwise, I'm going to go nuts.
Well, yeah, for sure, because it is real, and putting it together and presenting it in both a journalistic fashion when you do the work yourself and then in a news analysis fashion, I think it serves to do that. And I think it also serves to go through that when we're reading it and looking at the work of podcasts and other people out there generating content of value. So yeah, for sure. The show for me has been a lot of fun throughout the last decade. And as you mentioned, there's so many of the people we've interviewed. We've interviewed platinum level musicians, people on Billboard, people locally that were creating and just not even heard. And that's a delight. We've had live musicians. We've interviewed actors. We've interviewed poets and you know, farmers, I mean, and the list goes on, because freedom, you know, it unifies and it brings divergent people together with different walks in life. We've interviewed sheriffs, we've interviewed police officers, you know, so I think that's one thing I love about this show is that it is so dynamic. You know, maybe we have some perennial topics, abuse of authority, surveillance state, civil liberties, But at the same time, our interest in these has taken us through so many personalities and so many changes in culture and law that it never ends. And I've seen, you know, we have some supporters that have been here since the beginning. So I want to thank all of them as well as all our new supporters. And thank you, Derek, for, you know, being part of it. And there's times where, you know, if I just had to do it myself, I'd go crazy. I don't know if that I would, obviously, in the same way. So I celebrate that as well. Decade, that's cool. But I know we got a lot of other stuff to get into, and we're at the halfway mark. Maybe now's a good time before we go any further to just punctuate it with a song.
Yeah, we can. We're, you know, just to, I guess, let everybody know what's coming up. We're going to be talking about some propaganda stories. The next thing we're going to dive into is an institution you might have heard about called Bellingcat. And if you've never actually heard the name, you've probably seen their work, their name promoted, and been influenced by their propaganda, whether you realize it or not. And then looking even further ahead, I'm going to cover a couple of stories that just some leaked videos that came out this week about a CNN director saying some things that you might want to know about if you pay attention to the mainstream media and CNN. And then in another story, another example of propaganda, the U.S. intelligence community months later now walking back a story which you heard about last year, which is promoted all over the mainstream media. And then now here we are 6 months later. Sorry, guys, we got that one wrong. And it's just, you know, it's important to see how propaganda works. But yeah, let's go ahead and do it. We'll take a quick music break. This song I recorded a couple weeks ago. It's been in my mind just the idea of it, and it's called Reflection, and it's just, it's about feeling like you know, we're a reflection of each other in different ways. Like, people show you their good side, you see like the good and the bad in people, and often you can stop and be like, wow, I have that same quality, or I'm capable of that same
thing. You got it, spot it, got
it. exactly. So it's just about like recognizing that in the quote-unquote good and bad ways, we are reflections of each other. And so it just came out a couple days ago. It's called Reflection, and my artist name is 33. So check this out. We'll be right back on Freethinker Radio.
We have to reestablish our identity.
33.
We have to understand who we are and where we fit in the natural order of the world.
It's time to reflect.
The people who have created this system, and they perpetuate this system, they are out of balance.
So let's do this.
They have made us out of balance.
I woke up this morning feeling I had something to say. I got doubts on my mind, it's time to let them fly away. It's time to unlearn poison and heal broken hearts. Go back to the end, it's time for a fresh start. This is the place we can atone for our sins. This is the place where our hero's journey begins. A space between love and hate, where there's no escape from our fate. Rather than be irate, let's create, let's build the better world we know is possible. I've got no fear, cause we can overcome any obstacle. I stare all my demons in the face, I'll show you what's possible. I send love from my heart, I'm intuitive, not illogical. It's just that lately I've been searching for deeper meaning. I'm sick of drugs, booze, mindless sex, and criminal scheming. Feels like I should have more at this point in time. I'm talking knowledge, not money, I'm trying to feed my mind.
See, we are power. They deal in violence and repression. We are power. They tell us, they want us to believe that we are powerless.
I hope you hear these words from my mind, from my heart, to your ears. Let's make a difference. Let's do something. Open up all three of my eyes and fly to the heavens. During my meditation, I see my life in chapters of seven. I connect to my inner child to heal my wounds. I remember those I've lost to dope gone too soon. My life flashes before me, a collage of joy and pain. I recall the highs, the lows, I swear I'm going insane. I'm trying to wrap my mind around this journey. Spent too much time worrying about things that don't concern me. No more time wasted, not chasing my dreams. I wake up every day knowing this world ain't what it seems. We gotta find our own path, we gotta make our own meaning. Cause we can't be sure,
we might be dreaming.
All I know is, when I look in your eyes, I see myself. I'm just a reflection of your impression of my higher self. Could it be that our whole reason for being, our existence, is a lesson to teach us over and over until we get this? You are powerful, you are beautiful, and you are free. Shake off your chains, you are blind, but now you see. Grandfather, help us remember where we come from. Grandmother, walk with us until this battle is won. I'm here right now, just here to remind you to give thanks where you come from. Think about where you're headed. 33, out.
are a natural part of the earth. We are an extension of that natural energy which is spirit and which is power. That is natural power. And just as it takes millions and billions of elements to make a blizzard to happen, or to make the earthquake, to make the earth to move, then it's going to take millions and billions of us. We are power. We have that power.
You are powerful, you are beautiful, you are free.
All right. That's good. That's good. I like the accents that you got going on there. I saw a lot of the feedback we were getting about it was really positive. A lot of support there. I like it. I think the production on it was a little bit better than maybe the last round that I heard.
I think so. Yeah, I'm working with a friend who is also a producer, and I think we're going to continue working together as long as I'm just having fun, man. I'm just trying to get some ideas out in a different creative way that feels there good right now.
Lyrically, it was kicking. I liked it. You know, I think, and I kind of like it that, you know, it's so clear, like, to hear also, you know, nothing to get in the way of what you're trying to say. So, yeah. Good job. Well, I'm sure we'll play it more.
Just one thing on that I'll say is it's what's fun to me just as like a artist or a creative person. I just like to write, you know, different things, but it's different than the things you've seen me do in the past, like playing metal, heavy music, like where, you know, usually I'm screaming, growling, whatever. That to me is like a whole different form of expression, where like this is just like, well, it's just me, my words and a beat. Like, so there's, like you said, there's nothing to hide behind, right? There's no, like, it's just, I'm out there. And so it's fun. I like the challenge, but all right, let's continue. Let's talk some propaganda. We got three or four stories centered around propaganda. We got you for another 20-something minutes here on Freethinker Radio. Micah, you want to kick off this one on Bellingcat, and I'll throw my thoughts in once you're done, because I've looked into them a little in the past, and they're pretty shady.
Yeah, you know, they get pitched, you know, in a lot of, and this article from Mint Press talks a lot about how they get pitched as being so independent, and all these lamestream media outlets talking about them being independent. You know what I'm saying? Things like the ABC and New Yorker and South China Morning Post, you know, saying that they're a force for good and all these things. So if you hadn't heard about them, a lot of people are saying that they're something real. But let's dig a little bit deeper is what the Mint Press author more or less does. In addition to former contributor Cameron Cocahon's past, there is even more this individual. So there's all these writers that are there, supposedly independent journalists, right? But check this out. This guy, Cameron Cocahon, he spent a decade as a senior position in GCHQ. This is Britain's version of the NSA. Okay, think about that. If we had it in America, what that might mean, an NSA guy being an independent journalist. Would you buy that? I don't know. Where he ran cyber and Middle Eastern terror operations. There's a former contributor, Chris Biggers. Name sound familiar? He authored over 60 articles for the site between 2014 and 17. Previously, he worked for the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, a combat support unit that works under the Department of Defense and the broader intelligence community. For 6 years, another guy named Dan Cazzetta was a U.S. Secret Service agent specializing in chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons. And 6 more years, he worked as a senior a program manager for White House Military Office. Yeah, you know, these are your independent journalists of Bellingcat. He also would provide some of the intellectual ammunition that about the accusations for chemical weapons being used in Syria and Russia's alleged poisoning of the Sergei Skripal. Other Bellington contributors have similar pasts. Noor Bakre previously worked for Britain's government's Foreign and Commonwealth Office, while Carl Moran proudly served 2 separate tours in Iraq with the 82nd Airborne. As startling as its staff is Bellingcat's funding. And, you know, this is something everyone knows, right? Follow the funding. In 2016, Bellingcat's founder, Elliot Higgins, who just happens to be a former senior fellow at the Atlantic Council. But anyway, I digress. In 2016, he dismissed the idea that they got money from the U.S. government's National Endowment for Democracy as a ludicrous conspiracy theory. Yet, by the next year, he openly admitted in a tweet, the thing he had laughed off for so long was, in fact, true. So, and meanwhile, Bellingcat's latest available financial report confirms that they continue to receive financial assistance from the NED. NED was explicitly set up by the Reagan administration as a front for CIA's regime change operations. A lot of what we do today was done covertly 25 years ago by the CIA, said the organization's co-founder, Alan Weinstein, proudly. The corporate press itself also has a disturbingly close relationship with the national security state, as does social media. In 2019, a senior executive at Twitter was unmasked as an active duty officer by the British Army's Online Psychological Operations Unit. So, yeah, this story, if you get into it, it does go a lot further. But I think one of the things to think about is the way this outlet has been, you know, positioned and talked about in, you know, some of the loudest bullhorns around for the last half a decade to a decade. And now how many people who have left there as independent journalists and have moved into positions in mainstream media as journalists. And these aren't people who were like whistleblowers who basically came forward with some information and then became, you know, valuable as journalists. These are just former security state people who are now journalists.
Yeah. And you know, it goes beyond that too, Mike. Like a couple minutes ago, you were saying like, oh, you know, would we really trust that if there's some ex, you know, intelligence member going as a journalist? But in fact, in the US, all over Fox, MSNBC, and CNN, you see these ex-spies, you know, quote unquote ex-spies, now on there as advisors or consultants, and they bring them on for these stories, including John Brennan, the former head of the CIA that helped develop the torture program, the drone assassination program, that was definitely getting heavily exposed by journalist Michael Hastings. And so, you know, Bellingcat, you mentioned the NED, the National a National Endowment for Democracy. They've been long associated with the CIA and as like a front for the CIA. And that's like documented fact there. And so that association with Bellingcat alone is cause for alarm. And then you mentioned the Atlantic Council. You know, I'm glad you brought this story up because I've been working on a video as well on Bellingcat. I did one back in January of last year, Who is Bellingcat? Just kind of looking at some of the things, looking at who is Elliot Higgins, the head of Bellingcat and his history, and then looking into this connection, the one you mentioned with the Atlantic Council. And if folks will go back to October 2018, when what some of us called the purge that happened on social media, mainly on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, that in this October back in 2018, Facebook removed 559 pages and 251 accounts, which they said were doing spam and coordinated inauthentic behavior. And this is around sort of Russia hysteria, accusing a lot of outlets of being connected to Russia or promoting propaganda, including the Anti-Media, Free Thought Project, Cop Block, Police to Police, Collective Evolution, many more were deleted and then falsely labeled, like I said, Russian, you know, assets and things of that sort. There was these lists that were floating around. And anyways, my point is that four months prior to this, Facebook had partnered with the Atlantic Council, which is this, you know, think tank that claims to give people access to, you know, politicians and high profile diplomats and people who are part of the sort of NATO network. It's basically the Western military industrial complex. And Facebook, again, partnered with them in May, shortly after there, and continuing to this day, the censorship, you know, has ramped up. And Bellingcat and Elliot Higgins, they're connected to those same people. And there are more and more reasons to dive in, both in the Mint Press article and just on your own research. But yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Micah, because I think it is one of the most blatant forms of propaganda that exists. Because, again, even if you've never heard the name Bellingcat, you might have seen, or somebody you know has seen, an interview with Elliot Higgins or some quote unquote independent journalist that works with Bellingcat, and they get them to come on to the mainstream TV and tell them the version of events they want you to hear about Syria or about the wars or about, you know, the Federal Reserve or whatever it could be. The point is they bring them on as this supposedly independent journalist that has ties to it, you know, the establishment in a lot of ways. So this is why it's important to understand that when things are put in front of you, especially through the corporate media, there's often a lot more to what you're being shown.
And, you know, you went to speak about the Atlantic Council a little bit, their board of directors, just to mention some names, it has Henry Kissinger, Condoleezza Rice, Colin Powell, retired generals such as James Mad Dog Mattis and H.R. McMaster. I don't know about you. Does that sound like the Betterment of Humanity board, or does that sound like something else? Henry Kissinger, starring Henry Kissinger, Condoleezza Rice, Colin Powell, Mad Dog Mattis, and H.R. McMaster. Also, no fewer than 7 former DART CIA directors also. Is this like the people you want to hang out with when you're, you know, thinking about the positivity of the future?
Those are the new Avengers. Henry Kissinger and Condoleezza Rice and Dick Cheney back from the dead. Oh, again. God. Well, let's continue our discussion here on propaganda. Again, you're listening to Freethinker Radio, where we bring you uncensored news and underground music. So far, we've played one of my songs, 33. We've played Stupid Idiot, and we're covering all kinds of news. So if you want to support us, please do visit thehoustonfreethinkers.com. Or if you want to support the station, go to kpft.org and consider making a donation in the name of Freethinker Radio. Micah, again, you know, we were talking about this off air prior to this, and it's just so one of the things, the stressful things about keeping up with the news, even if it's just every week, we got to do it for one day at least so we can have something to talk about on the show. You know, it's hard to even ignore because there's so much noise out there. You can't just totally live in ignorance, I feel like, or at least it's getting more and more difficult than maybe it used to be for some people in the past because of just, it's all in your face constantly. You know what I mean?
And maybe that's why everyone, all these people that we see are getting so offended, because they're seeing things that before they could just be ignorant of. And they're having to grapple with things like the inconsistency or lack of consistency in institutions that they might have believed in.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, that's why there's a lot of confusion, because some people truly did believe that they could trust the media. Others still continue to believe that. But as we're showing here, there's a lot more at stake. And I just think it's important for people to definitely have time away from the media, but also to not try to put your head in the sand. You don't want to go from one extreme to the other, that like, well, things are so crazy, I don't even want to hear about it anymore. Let them do whatever they want, sort of thing. Throw my hands up. Like, there does need to be a balance for our own sanity. Like, today's episode is called "Is It Ever Going to End?" And, you know, obviously we're kind of talking about the craziness and just the bad news all the time. And for some people, a better world started when Donald Trump came into office, right? Because they think that Trump is, you know, the worst that there ever could be, the worst that there ever was. And a lot of that is built around what the media has told them about Donald Trump over the last 4 years. And you know me, Mike, like, I'm no Trump apologist. I spent 4 years being very critical of him and calling him out for things that I think any of us would have called out other people for, you know, and have called out other past people for, just being really about that, not getting stuck in whatever the sort of party thing. But it is true that there has been a lot of BS about Trump that has been put out there over the years. And we're now finding out one of these big stories. I'm trying to pull the link up real quick. One of the big stories, which was not even too long ago, was that during the Trump administration, was that there was hits out on the soldiers that were being put out, that the Taliban was, that the Russians were putting out bounties on U.S. troops, and that this was happening, and Trump was doing nothing to it, of course, because he was clearly a Russian puppet, is sort of like the line of thinking that was coming out of the mainstream press. But the point is that now, here we are, Trump's out of office, and people have probably forgotten about that story. But at the time when it came out and it was on the 24/7 news cycle, I'm sure they were influenced by it. But now here we are in the U.S. intelligence communities walking back that claim, basically saying, oops, our bad. And as the Daily Beast writes, it was a blockbuster story about Russia's return to the imperial great game in Afghanistan. The Kremlin had spread around money around the longtime Central Asian battlefield for militants to kill the remaining U.S. forces. It sparked a massive outcry from Democrats and their hashtag resistance amplifiers. But the Russian puppet in the White House, about the treasonous Russian puppet in the White House whose admiration for Putin had endangered American troops. However, on Thursday, the Biden administration announced that the U.S. intelligence community only had a low to moderate confidence in the story after all. And as the article says, translated from the jargon of spy world, this means the intelligence agencies found the story is at best unproven and possibly untrue. And the official statement from a senior administration official says, U.S. intelligence community assesses with low to moderate confidence that Russian intelligence officers sought to encourage Taliban attacks on U.S. and coalition personnel in Afghanistan in 2019 and perhaps earlier. So again, whether or not you remember this story, I guarantee you your family and friends were being influenced by the story, whether it was the Trump people responding and saying, oh, that's crazy, and in this case they were right, or the the other side sort of running with it like they were doing with this 24-hour news cycle. Here's the latest thing to be offended by. Here's the latest thing to be upset by. Here's, you know, that sort of thing.
It seemed fantastic back then to me that the nation, like Russia's level of being, you know, this is more like what you might expect from an ISIS, you know, in my opinion. And so, I mean, even then it seemed fantastic without even wanting to give a darn either way, you know.
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, it didn't really make sense to me, but I just think that one way or the other, this is another thing. And again, how many people, most people don't see the correction, right? They don't see the update, the whoops, we did it wrong. It's just, you know, and I don't know that CNN's running with that story tonight, you know, or that MSNBC is running that one tonight. Or,
our mistake, our bad. Tonight's episode, our bad.
Yeah, I mean, because that's just, again, there's no accountability, and I could talk about that all day, but babies being thrown out of incubators or weapons of mass destruction, whatever. I mean, so look, the reality is, like, when people out there who have this super trusting aspect of the, you know, the way they look at the mainstream media, they look down on people who are skeptical of the mainstream media, and they sort of like, why are you so silly? You're so stupid. Oh, you just, you know, you think it's just all fake news. And some people have that mentality, but no, there are intelligent people who can use their critical thinking and their logic and can look at the track record of the corporate media and these institutions and decide if they should, you know, if it's a wise bet to place more energy and more trust in those institutions. And more often than not, the answer is no. So I don't think it's unreasonable for people to continue to have mistrust. We're talking about Bellingcat being put in front of people and sending them whatever the establishment's version of events. We're talking about stories being floated by some source that everybody runs with, and in the intelligence community quietly says, my bad, you know, we were wrong. And then this next story, Micah, which is kind of just a two-part thing related to recently released videos from Project Veritas. And I know that for some people, when they hear that name and James O'Keefe, the guy behind it, it's an immediate red flag, because this guy has done some controversial work. He's gone out there and had him or some of his associates, you know, do some undercover videos at abortion clinics and things of that sort. And so that has made, I think, people more on the left and progressive automatically dismiss anything they do, say that, look, it's all edited to get a certain message. And I can't vouch for every single one of their videos, but what I can say is that these two videos that have come out this week clearly indicate something that is different than probably what you've heard in the corporate media, especially, I would say, from CNN. So their latest, kind of scheme here, journalistic, undergoing undercover for journalism, from Project Veritas, involved CNN technical director. And his name is technical director Charlie Chester. And so apparently this man, Charlie Chester, who is, again, technical director of all of CNN, in a position to know most of the major players and be making major decisions. And he's bragging about that in this date, this apparent Tinder date he went on a date through Tinder and was being recorded undercover by whoever he went on a date. And there's a few different things that he mentions that I'm just going to kind of touch on. Again, I hope people who are offended by this guy, who thinks, you know, James O'Keefe is right-wing propaganda, Project Veritas, go watch the video clips yourself and listen and make up your own mind. But so this footage came out on Tuesday, and it shows that CNN employees were describing, and again, in his own words, CNN technical director Charlie Chester saying that the network worked to support Joe Biden's presidential campaign, and that this was like a specific thing. And he says, quote, our focus was to get Trump out of office. And he's like, without saying it, that's what it was. And I don't know how you can misinterpret that as anything else. He mentions even, Micah, and this is an interesting one, and one of the kind of anecdotes he's sharing is there was this other story that got blown up, and it was something about Trump's hands or something and him like twitching, and they turned it into like, oh, is he mentally unfit? And he kind of brags. He's like, oh yeah, you remember that thing where there was like Trump moved his hand or something? He's like, oh, that was a nothing. We literally just were reaching for stories, and every day, and we brought on health professionals to say how it could be, you know, neurological. It just, he was admitting it. And I'm sure you can go back and find those clips on their YouTube channel and website and whatnot about, is Trump having a mental breakdown or whatever the story was. And he's readily admitting that they ramp those up for ratings and to make Trump look bad.
News is just another show.
Yeah. And to that point, Micah, my second point here, and then I'd love to get just, you know, your thoughts on this whole last little section of propaganda stories. The second set of videos that they've released, there might be more. I kind of haven't seen what they've been up to today. But in this other set of videos, the same guy, Charlie Chester, who is being targeted by Project Veritas on, you know, I guess, Tinder. He went on a date with some woman secretly recording him undercover. And he's talking about COVID-19 death toll numbers. And he says, quote, I've even looked at it. And he's talking about the daily death toll on CNN, how they, he's in the conversation, he says how they, we have those numbers up every day. And he says, because fear sells, he's like, you know, and he says that cliche phrase that we've probably heard in movies or TV shows or whatever, that he says, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. But he says that, he's like, you know, it's kind of, even admits, he's like, it's kind of, you know, I don't know if his exact words, but he uses that phrase. And then he says, I've even looked at the daily death toll on CNN and been like, let's make it higher. Like, why isn't it high enough, you know, today? Like, it would make our point better if it was higher. And, you know, just some of these kinds of things, admitting that, and that doesn't mean, of course, that he's involved in, like, faking COVID numbers per se, but definitely it's an acknowledgement of him that they could sell more fear and maybe just generate more whatever the ratings by pushing that. And then the other thing that he mentions, man, is that he says, oh, I think in the coming months, we're going to be hitting the climate change hard, but we're going to start shifting from COVID to like just constant climate change stories. And like, it's going to be just, you know, look at the climate here, look at the, this is burning and this and that. Like, he sort of outlines whatever, I guess, CNN's next plan is. And yeah, interesting stuff though. But again, like, I just think it's unfortunate that some people will hear that and dismiss it because it comes from that man.
Yeah. That's, I can understand. Maybe I don't know much about that source, Project Veritas, but I can understand why some people, they just don't listen to certain sources anymore. You know, we've all seen this happen. But yeah, this is an interesting one. We know that we see the news cycle, and it's just one of those things about like news in a way, you have to see it as art. You know, so is it reflecting life or what? But we see all these intelligence people. We see the Church Commission historically. We see so many things where it's not just a spontaneous narrative of writers and creators and passionate people. So knowing that, I think we need to remain a bit skeptical. And I think with that, that's all we can do. Because, you know, we're not in these cities, we're not in the military, we're not in these places. So all we have is hearsay. And we start to develop, you know, sources that we either identify with a bit more, or we trust or whatever, and we listen to them. I would hope that we would do the homework, at least for most of the time, and not build our allegiance to listening just because they attack, you know, an opposition voice that we don't agree with or something like that, that more it's about fact. So.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what it's about. And that's about all we got today on Freethinker Radio. We've covered some good news today. Well, not some good news, but some important news, talking about shootings and getting to that discussion about police and dealing with mental health situations. Also just kind of covering what's happening in the world of propaganda. We didn't actually, this is probably the first time in almost a year, Michael, we didn't even talk about COVID. Like, we didn't, you know, immunity passports are still coming. That's all.
No doubt. And we had a lot of good comments all through the feed. Thank you everybody for your support, your ideas there. There's a lot of diverse ideas there, and I'm glad to see that, you know, everything from people stating that police work is dangerous to, you know, people talking about how manipulated people are by the media because they hit emotionally. And we've talked about that for years about that. So.
Yeah. Well, thanks for another good show, man. And we'll be back next week. We do this every week. You can find us at thehoustonfreethinkers.com and at kpft.org. Until next time, guys, be safe. Peace.
Live free. Think free. Be free.
Be free. Peace.
Third world's riches, still stolen over and over. Colonial apartheid and a corporate makeover. Like a subspecies in a materialist enclosure. Inhumane as the Old Testament God Jehovah. But it's the fourth world's public exposure. For the Roswell crash, moon landing disclosure. A way to the higher truth like a Jedi Yoda. Extraterrestrials exist, society supernova. A collective future where everyone is more equal. Not corporate colonialism, this evil sequel. Keeping most humans in poverty remains legal for the material greed of those royally regal. Chemically burning in the sun before the calm. Third world humans facing bombs of napalm. Forced to breathe in classes causing future health harm. For the thousand year war between the church and Islam. If we live in a free, fair and accountable democracy, why do corporations still fuel a hidden colonial plutocracy? Wake up, expose the elite star scam. Face up, the news is propaganda spam. Shake up the systems that set in sham. It's truly time we morally gave a damn. Wake up, expose the elite star scam. Face up, the news is propaganda spam. Shake up the systems that set in sham. It's truly time we morally gave a damn. And I have darkness overseeing global ill will. Watch this over us, malevolent, ready to kill. Think inhumane, world events are random still. Ignorance be bliss without the red pill. But you're a slave with no cosmic free will. Awaken your bird eye to see this blood spill. Sacrificial lands for kings and queens to revel. The elites and rituals gave their souls to the devil. Wake up, expose the elite star scam. Face up, the news is propaganda spam. Shake up the systems that set in sham. It's truly time we morally gave a damn. Wake up, expose the elite star scam. Face up, the news is propaganda spam. Shake up the systems that set deceptive sham. It's truly time we morally gave a damn. The material greed of a treacherous west. Advanced civilizations brutally dispossessed by a heartless monster demonically possessed. At the dynasty of darkness, royalty's behest. Build colonial empires of racist elitism. Two world wars of third world defeatism. Trillions in debt, decolonization's price. Supposedly for our material paradise. They ain't corporate tax havens, land of the vice. Same trillions lost in the system, I think twice. Our first world unaware of its human rights abuse. The third world slave workforce is the truth. A world so unequal paints a dark material picture. Billions live in poverty so the elites can get richer. Wake up, expose the elite star scam. Face up, the news is propaganda spam. Shake up the systems that set in sham. It's truly time we morally gave a damn. Wake up, expose the elite star scam. Face up, the news is propaganda spam. Shake up the systems, deceptive sham. It's truly time we morally gave a damn.